Welcome to this Market Commentator podcast, where I speak to leading investment professionals to hear their views on the market, the investment strategies, and the sectors and companies they like. My name is Rake Vanikak, and our guest today is Terence Craig. He is the Chief Investment Officer of Element Investment Managers. Terence, welcome to the show. We are currently seeing many headwinds blowing against South Africa. We see some tension within the ruling party and government, and a potential ratings downgrade is on the horizon. We also see some very mixed signals from the main international markets, which is causing a lot of volatility. How do you see the current market environment?
With respect to international markets, I mean, our view has been quite some time that markets have been on the expensive side. A lot of driving force behind markets has been central banks making money very, very cheap, so forcing investors to take more and more risk in order to get return. But our view is that's not sustainable. It's always been difficult to call when that will turn. But certainly what we've seen over the last year, the breadth of the market has started deteriorating. So if one looks at South Africa and the US as an example, the index was driven more and more by one or two very large cap shares. In South Africa, Naspers, SAB, Steinhoff and Richemont in 2015 were the four that really drove the market. And in the States, you know, you had the FANGs, the Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google, that really drove the market. If one looked at a even-weighted sort of basis, the market was actually trending down. So normally you get a concentration towards the end of a bull market where a couple of large caps drive the index, but the rest of the market's actually not doing that well. And we've seen that both locally and internationally. And I guess when one looks at central banks, and we'll obviously find out from the EU today whether they're going to do anything more, but you know, you've got negative rates, and it's difficult to see how much further you can go. So I do think central banks have starting to run out of ammunition to keep driving the market.
Well, as you said, you know, a few companies actually drove the market, it is really, really unlikely that they would do so again this year. It is much more of a stock picker's market. You know, as an investment manager, how do you approach this? And do you take bold positions in companies which you expect to do better than the big guns has done last year?
Yeah, as value investors, we've been positioned in many of the shares that in 2016 have shown quite a turnaround. It obviously cost us, you know, through 2014 and 2015. And really in South African context, that's been investing in resources and being underweight in financials and industrials. And it's really been the industrials that have driven our market over the last sort of 4 or 5 years. And resources have been punished, and we've seen quite a significant turnaround, and some of the moves are quite startling, and I think the quantum of moves do show that there is some significant sector rotation. And you know, we as value managers, we tend to look for shares that are being punished at a bottom point in a down cycle, but that are likely to pull through. And I think what a lot of investors forget is that sectors move in cycles. Sometimes the cycles are longer than others. And certainly the industrials on the upside and some of the consumer shares, the retailers have done particularly well for sort of 10 years or so. But we think that that's turning now. And certainly the moves we've seen in the likes of gold, platinum, and some of the other resource counters are significant enough to, and the action that's been happening within the resource counters themselves, you know, cutting costs, reducing debt, becoming leaner and meaner to survive through a sort of commodity downturn, has proved quite beneficial for those who've been prepared to take that investment case.
Do you regard yourself as a contrarian investor? Because that seems to have been, you know, the strategy of many other contrarian investors, you know, John Bickard and Pitfall Yun. Are you in that bracket?
Yeah, we would consider ourselves to be in that bracket. And I guess if you do want to beat the index over the long term, you can't replicate the index. And I think a lot of people have been close to index trackers or very low tracking error without taking any significant bets away from the index in terms of investment positions. So again, you tend to find the best bargains where others are selling out or giving up, and that's been no different with resources in the last sort of 2 or 3 years.
But you know, contrarian investors, you know, have been, you know, under the hammer for a while. The market really has turned against them. But do you foresee the latest or the recent you know, spike in commodity shares is sustainable?
I think in some instances they are. It's quite difficult in terms of forecasting. So when you're forecasting resource shares, you've got a much higher forecast risk than, for example, forecasting SAB's earnings, because obviously you have commodity and currencies that come into play. So you tend to need a much bigger margin of safety when you are investing in resources relative to one or two industrial counters where you've got a much lower sort of forecast risk when you are analyzing shares. But if you take gold, for example, the gold index peaked in September 2011, which is 4.5 years ago now, at 1900. So you've had the gold miners having 4.5 years of, well, until recently, 4.5 years of continually declining prices where they've effectively cut costs, driven down debt, sold assets. You've had some mergers. You've had Anglo Gold selling one of the American assets to Newmont to be able to cut down debt. So what you find is that resource companies aren't just price takers, but cost curves do flatten. So, you know, the average cost of a gold miner was probably about $1,250 where the current price is now, four and a half years ago. Most of them have dropped their all-in cost to around about $1,000. So if you've got a $1,250 gold price, you have a $250 dollar per ounce cash flow. And if you're Goldfields or Anglos and you're producing 2 or 3 million ounces per year, that's pretty significant. You've got 500 to 800 million US dollars cash flow. And if you take that to rands, you've got anywhere between 8 to 10 or 12 billion. Yeah. You know, if you put a sort of reasonable multiple at this point in the cycle, you know, 7 or 8, you get to where the share prices are. So it's not as if the gold prices, the gold shares are discounting ridiculous gold price forecasts into the future. The cash flows at these levels will be very, very strong for some of the gold producers.
If you look at the underlying holdings in your equity funds, you see the same names. Anglo Gold, in your equity, or your Earth Equity Fund, is the biggest holding there, 10.5% of the fund. But also Sibanye Gold is there, Aquarius Platinum, BHP Billiton. Did you sell out of some of those stocks or reduced exposure last year when we saw the sharp declines in that sector?
We changed our positioning within some of the resources. So we tended to go for resource counters that had stronger balance sheets. So we avoided Anglo American and Glencore as they had more debt. And I think we've seen that in that they both cut their dividends to zero, whereas Billiton is, and Rio, as examples, have cut their dividends but are still paying. So you're still getting some yield from them. So, of course, when commodity prices run, those that are highly geared have got the leverage, so your equity can rocket, which is what we've seen with Anglos. But we still think it's going to be quite difficult to reduce debt in terms of selling assets at this point in the cycle. You know, most people know you're under pressure and have to reduce debt, so you tend not to get great prices for that. So we've had some sector rotation. This year we have taken some profits on some of our positions. You know, when your gold index is up over 100% in 2.5 months, you know, it does make sense to take some profits off the table. So we have rotated. Aquarius Platinum is effectively a cash arb now because it's being taken up by Sibanye. So it is sitting in our top 10, but it hasn't benefited from the platinum sector rally like many of the others, as it's really 19.5 cents times exchange rate, and we'll probably get that in about a month's time.
What did you do with the profit?
What did we do with the profit?
Yeah, what did you do? You speak about sector rotation. You took, you know, reduced some exposure to the commodities. What did you do with that cash?
Yeah, we've invested in some financials and industrials. We've taken some positions, small positions in Renet and Richemont. We've always had a position in Bidvest, which we increased. Those would be the three that have got the biggest benefits, and some of the healthcare, Netcare, we increased our stake there.
The banking sector is one of the sectors that have been sold down. I see that you hold Standard Bank as your biggest shareholding in the majority of your funds. What do you think, first of all, of the value within the banking sector? And number two, why do you pick Standard Bank in that sector?
Yeah, we think Standard Bank had underperformed many of the others for quite some time. You know, First Rand has really done the running in the banking sector until recently. Yeah, Standard Bank has underperformed. We think it's banks are sort of like super tankers. They take quite a long time to turn around, and there are lots of little things you have to get right. And we think Standard Bank is going in the right way. It's still going to be quite a tough sector for the banks, in that, you know, we're in a rising interest rate environment, and generally, you know, those companies, banks and retailers that are consumer facing, are going to have tougher times, and we do see interest rates continuing to rise in SA as well.
Are there other sectors you see value in?
I guess the sector that has been down and out and buried for 7 or 8 years now is construction. We have positions in Marion Roberts and Group 5. We think we're probably close to the bottom. Certainly there have been some quite large moves over the last couple of weeks since all the construction companies have half years to December. So all the results have come through. And, we think if you look at something like Marion Roberts, the outlook isn't great, but you're paying a 5 multiple. They're still paying dividends. You know, so what multiple would you put on a company that's probably close to trough earnings? I think 5 is probably pretty cheap. So, we like the value there. One must bear in mind that Murray's is sort of just north of 10, but it was, you know, between 7 and 8 a couple of weeks ago. That share was over 100 Rand in 2007 when everybody had to be in the construction shares because everybody was building stadiums and the World Cup was, you know, 3 years away. So you've got a share that's down 90% since its peak. It had a rights issue a couple of years ago at 18 Rand. So it's got a reasonably strong balance sheet. So, you know, when would you buy a construction company knowing that it's a cyclical share? I guess we'd rather buy it at close to 10 Rand after having raised capital than buying it at 100 Rand when it's at the peak.
One of the companies, there is the most interest in on the MoneyWeb website is Sasol, and we also saw some results from Sasol this week, it seems that it's not too bullish about the future. You also hold this share. What are your views on Sasol?
Yeah, I guess, in fact, I've got a lunch with Sasol later today, so I'd get quite a bit more information. Sasol has taken a decision to, like most other sort of South African companies, to diversify away from South Africa, so it's not dependent just on a local earning stream. So they are spending $9 odd billion US dollars to build an ethane cracker in Louisiana in the States. Now, obviously, what has happened since they pulled the trigger on that project a couple of years ago is that you've seen oil prices and gas prices and other chemical-related prices drop quite materially. So certainly the outlook for that ethane cracker based on current prices is probably not as positive as it was. And generally you're facing a very tough industry right now. And you're obviously using your rand earnings out of Synfuels, which is effectively Secunda and Sasolburg, to finance a dollar-based project. You would have covered some of that, but you might not have been able to cover all of that going that far forward. So you are facing some sort of currency risk as well. We like Sasol. We like its business model. It generates lots of cash. It's a business that doesn't need, you know, $100 oil to make money. But its primary commodity is at the moment that generates earnings is oil. That's down quite materially. The counter to that is that the rand has weakened quite materially. So it's not all doom and gloom for Sasol.
Just lastly, contrarian investors have been, you know, did underperform the market the past few years. How patient are investors in your fund? Did you see outflows, and do you expect, well, do you think that we've hit the bottom of the market and the value investors, the true value investors, could now outperform the market?
Yeah, I mean, you know, investment philosophies move in cycles just like shares move in cycles and economies move in cycles. So it's certainly been out of favor. I think what's exacerbated that move is there were significant outflows out of ourselves and some of the other value managers you mentioned. I think three of us probably collectively lost close to 100 billion in the last 3 or 4 years. So it becomes very difficult to perform in that environment as you have part of your portfolio that's continually sold into the market. And if it's moving to somebody that doesn't have a large overlap, many of your shares are sold down or dumped in the market. And that's happened to some of the other value managers. I think with the current turnaround in performance, we've seen some stability in our flows. We certainly haven't had any material outflows for the last year or two. But by and large, investors aren't that patient. I think many investors look at 1 to 3 year time horizon. And I think if you really are investing in markets for the long term, one certainly got to have a longer term horizon than that. So the answer is we've had outflows, as have most of the other value investors. That's compounded the value underperformance, certainly in the last 2 or 3 years. But we think the turnaround that we've seen, there have been many false dawns for value investors over the last couple of years, but certainly the magnitude of the relative outperformance this time has been very material. You'll see some of the value managers certainly in the top 10 or top quartile over 6 months. Some of them have had such significant outperformance that they're there over 1 year already. So we know we have very poor figures that are falling out, so we certainly think that the winners this year are unlikely to be the winners of last year, and we think a lot of value managers will be in that top quartile or top 10.
Thank you, Terence. That was Terence Craig, the Chief Investment Officer of Element Investment Managers.